And you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling Show here on FW Radio Network. FW Live. Again, I am Patrick, Danny, and Eric. Mika Villas, who knows where she's at? How are you guys doing today, fellas?
Doing all right. The weather's getting colder, which is good. A little rainy. You know, my allergies are acting up on me, so I apologize if I have to take breaks to sneeze or what have you. But so the week's going pretty good. We're in the midst of a lot of interesting things in wrestling right now.
A lot going on for sure.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, T. Just appreciating the cooler weather. Cooler weather means postseason baseball, so I'm watching baseball as we speak. Otherwise, it's been a pretty good week. Pretty good week of wrestling.
I had to do a lot of ignoring to you, Eric, as my Yankees were getting cheated.
Fuck the Yankees. I'm out. You're a Yankees fan? If I would have known that, I would have never agreed to ever doing this podcast or being your friend at that point.
Well, now you're stuck with both.
There you go.
Fuck the Yankees.
Too late for that shit. Yeah.
What are you going to do when I show up in my Yankee jersey?
Ignore you.
You know, got my last name and everything printed right in it. Looks very nice and pretty.
If it makes you feel any better, we're getting spanked by Tampa, so y'all would have too. So it's okay.
I mean, Tampa's kicking everybody's butt in every sport this year. I mean, they won the Super Bowl. They won the NHL Cup.
Yep.
Why not take
it's
it?
It's the Tom Brady effect.
It's like the Wild West out there, man. They don't give a fuck. They do what they want.
It's the Tom Brady effect.
I think that's like, a real thing.
Anyway, it is. Boston won a shit ton when Brady was up there. Now we suck at everything. And then ever since Tampa's got there, they've won 3 of the 6 championships that they've played for. It's the Tom Brady effect, man. I'm serious. It's a thing.
Nah, I don't know. He ain't done shit for wrestling, so I don't know. That's all I care about.
We shall see. So
touché.
We got lots to talk about. Because yeah, that's the worst thing that could happen right now. Is Danny going crazy on us one more time?
One more.
We don't need that.
No, you guys don't.
No, don't entice him, or not entice him. whatever the word is.
Antagonize.
Antagonize him. Yeah. English is not my first language. We all know that. It's okay. Let's go back a few weeks back, a month ago. Extreme Rules. That's where
That was a show.
Regular Rules was what we call that show.
That
is it featured that, only that, one match with Extreme Rules.
Went to the Extreme. Yeah. All right. Did not watch the pre-show. Did you guys watch the pre-show?
Look, it's been like 72 years. I don't even remember what matches were on the damn card.
Cool. So we'll start with the New Day, defeating Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos in 6-man tag action.
Okay, I do remember that. That was a pretty good match.
It's a pretty good match.
It was ease.
Literally.
I don't know. It's actually been so long, I can't remember shit.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember much, especially about the pre-show match.
I remember that E got or pinned Lashley.
We skipped that. No. Second longest match of the night. But yeah, it was pretty much to get Big E over, and nice to see the New Day all together again. Alas, for your, well, the last time yet again. Okay, this one should get Eric talking a little bit more. Charlotte Flair defeats Alexa Bliss to retain the Raw Women's Championship, and also on the way killing Lily.
Praise God!
What a travesty! Alexa Bliss has not been seen since.
She's too busy trying to get the Alka-Seltzer tablet to work.
She's emotionally grieving the loss of her support doll.
No, she's emotionally grieving the Alka-Seltzer tablet on her tongue.
Yeah. They should use the Foamicon stuff. It foams faster.
Exactly. She just got done having a fucking match. Her mouth's not going to be dripping wet.
Yep.
Well, you know. I mean, I thought it was an okay match. Now,
when it comes to Alexa Bliss.
We have someone who wants to say something. Danny, I'm sorry to interrupt. I may regret this later, but we'll see. We'll see what this person has to say. Hello, can you hear us?
I don't get it. What? When someone makes an OnlyFans, do they think that their shit is not going to get leaked?
Okay, so that was not wrestling related. It's cool.
No.
But
okay.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining. We appreciate it. Well, you know, kind of funny. Maybe, I mean, especially when we're talking about the women's match, but, you know, we're not going there. But, yeah. All right.
Let's just hope this Alexa Bliss gimmick is dead. Dead, gone, buried, never to be seen again because it was dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hope she just moves on to a different character or something.
Back to the goddess.
Something else. It's just time for something different.
Yeah. It's time for a new day.
Yes, it is.
It's a new day. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Usos defeat the Street Profits to retain the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. I feel like this good match could go a little longer.
Remember that match.
They went 13 minutes, but, you know. Didn't one of the Profits get killed by Roman not long ago?
Yeah, then essentially the Friday before Dawkins was at a wedding, so it was just Tez there, and Tez put on a pretty good match against Roman in a losing effort, and then Bloodline beat him down. So Montez was going into the match a little injured, had his ribs taped, and, you know, who's to say that didn't affect the way that the Profits wrestled? And, you know, the Bloodline came out on top, as they have been usually. But yeah, it was a good match. I agree with you, Patrick. I think it could have went a little bit longer, but it was good. Anytime the Usos mix it up with Street Profits or New Day or any of that, it's good times. It's good times.
Yeah.
The match was fine. You know, I mean, it really did what it was supposed to do. And, you know, Bloodline is still supposed to look pretty strong, as they're kind of still the dominant group in, you know, on SmackDown still. But yet again, I can't remember much about the match, so it couldn't have been too great.
Womp womp.
Let's see. Where are we now? Damian Priest defeated Jeff Hardy and Sheamus to retain the United States Championship. Yeah, I totally skipped this match.
Who cares? I mean, I love me some Sheamus. I have for a long time, but Damian Priest is just—he does nothing for me. He's just very bland. He's just very, very bland. And Jeff Hardy's, you know, always been cool, but yet again, when you have Priest, who's supposed to be the one that these guys are trying to make look good, it's kind of hard because he doesn't really help them out much.
Yeah, for sure. I just uninterested. Just totally not.
Yeah.
But these two matches I was hyped. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, going to a no contest after Sasha Banks returns and attacks not just Belair, but also the man.
Gave us the best picture of the weekend.
Yeah, there you go. Beck's kind of like shaking and nervous and giving the thumbs up right before Sasha jumped her too, I guess. Yet again, the match, of course, was definitely better than their original match, but, you know, because it wasn't really much of a match, the first one. And the no contest thing kind of makes sense. You know, you want Sasha, you know, back in action. Now that apparently either she's vaccinated or they don't care to force her to vax herself and they're just going to let her come back anyways. That was the rumored reason that she had been held off TV, was because she refused to get vaccinated. So they apparently got past that problem. It sets up for a lot of things, which is, of course, the point. You know, we're building into that fall season and, you know, setting things that could take shape into the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania season. I don't really have much to write about it. I'm still not really sure or convinced why they've made Becky Lynch, why they're trying to force everybody to not like Becky Lynch. It still just kind of irks me, but, you know, I don't get paid to make those kind of decisions.
Yeah. It was a pretty okay match from what I remember. Like you said, though, it was definitely better than the punch rock bottom call of the day.
The man slam, is that what they call it or something? Or rock
bottom? Yeah, the man slam.
Manhandle slam or something.
Manhandle like that. Slam, that's what it is. Okay.
Name is fucking stupid, too.
It's about as stupid as the move. But anyway.
Excuse me, it's not stupid.
The rock bottom is the dumbest move. You throw yourself down on your face. I think the two can make magic together, but I just don't. I don't want to boo Becky, but I also don't want to root against Bianca. So I really, are they throwing Sasha in here as the catalyst so that we all have somebody to boo? And even then, I don't want to boo Sasha. So
yeah,
I mean, I don't want to say that they screwed up by making Sasha Becky a heel, but I mean, nobody wanted to boo her.
Yeah,
she was the hottest thing going.
She was like the most popular superstar when she left, and you know, her leaving was under like happy circumstances because she's going to have a baby and all this, and everybody was greatly anticipating her return. They don't want to boo her. So yeah, I don't know.
Well, they didn't boo her. I thought the match was pretty darn good. I thought that the fans were very much into it, and that was great. The ending I wasn't sure about. Especially with the way that the main event ended. I don't know if you want to do that back to back. matches.
But they did.
They very much did. But yeah, I mean, it kept both women looking good and strong. You know, nobody took the loss.
Yeah, but then they got their asses handed to them. So.
Yeah, but you know, still. All right, main event time. Who's ready to talk about this?
Oof.
Roman Reigns.
We can talk about it and then just not talk about the last 45 seconds or whatever, right?
Yeah, but that's really what we're trying to talk about. Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief, defeats Finn Balor to retain the Universal Championship. And the match was really good overall. I'd probably say this was a bit the finish. Let's ignore the finish for a second. My favorite match of the night. They look great until, well, supernatural powers. I guess we don't have the Undertaker, right, and the urn to give him power. So apparently the building gives the demon a heartbeat. And
his music comes, you know, and brings him back to life and dims the lights and casts a bunch of smoke. And
then, you know, just when we thought that the demon was going to hit Reigns with the double stomp and or the coup de grace and become the new champion, it looks like there was a little rope incident. And, well, you know, the demon hurt his legs, and one spear later, still your Universal Champion, Roman Reigns.
The whole thing was pretty bad. The match itself, like you said, was really good. It was a fun back and forth match, and, you know, the demon, you know, he brings, you know, it's Finn on a much higher intensity and aggression level. And ultimately, that's kind of what, you know, the type of person you need to be able to beat Roman Reigns right now, because he is heavily aggressive and dominating. And so you need somebody who's going to just not be intimidated by him and charge at him. And that was happening. And then they were both down on the ground and the red lights turn on, and then Finn starts bucking or convulsing or something, and then he pops back awake and he's like hulked up and he's super angry and mad. He starts wrecking havoc. He takes out both Usos and beats up Roman and goes up top, and he's taking way too long up there, and then the top rope just snaps and he falls, and then Roman, you know, takes advantage of the situation and spears him. It was just rough. So corny. And then the top rope breaking was just bad. Yeah.
I mean, up until the ending, the match was pretty okay.
Yeah.
But the whole ending just kind of ruined it, honestly. Like, I could care less now.
That's what everybody's going to remember, unfortunately.
Yeah, from the
all the good hard work
from
they
the
put
heartbeat
in before is
making
wasted.
Him flop like a dead fish. Yeah, and I mean, like, he's flopping around like a dead fish on the ground, and then after getting beat up for 20 minutes, he runs through Usos, and then he runs through Reigns, and then gets ready to coup de grace him, and then the rope breaks. And I'm just like, what? But whatever, I guess.
Yeah, the rope breaking, which I've seen a picture now, I think somebody in the crowd took, where you can see from a different angle. Through the smoke, you see a guy who was posing as a cameraman up there, and he like cuts it.
Yeah.
Snaps it or whatever.
Still, just well,
they should just be snapping into a Slim Jim, not snapping any ropes. So yeah, C plus. You know what? No, remove the plus. It's a plain C.
Yeah, it was very disappointing that, you know, Extreme Rules in the past has been, you know, is the show. It's supposed to be kind of full of crazy matches. You know, you throw a ladder match and, you know, disqualification match or a tables match or something. You have multiple, you know, extreme type matches. And then they just had one and it ended by weird, cheeky shenanigans, basically. Yeah, it was kind of disappointing. It put a damper on the whole event, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably give it about a C as well.
Yeah, B minus C maybe. Yet again, there was some good stuff, but just endings, you know, like even Bianca and Becky was pretty good until the ending, and then, you know, it hurts the quality of the match a little bit because that's what the focus is on now. It's on Sasha returning and them getting, you know, left laying because of it. So yeah, I'd say maybe B minus.
All right. Are we ready to talk about the draft?
Sure.
Yeah, I guess. Go for it.
Ready or not, here we go. All right. Night one. SmackDown drafts. Roman Reigns. Charlotte Flair,
good choice.
Drew McIntyre, New Day, only Kofi and Xavier. Happy Corbin with Madcap Moss. The Hit Row get called up from NXT. Keith Lee, no, I'm sorry, Keith Lee stayed in the Raw. Naomi and Jeff Hardy. So, what do you guys think about WWE's pick, I mean, Ross pick for night one there.
Some decent picks, yeah. You know, and the weird thing about the draft is that you really can't, like, lock, you know, Raw can't really lock somebody down. They can just take people from SmackDown and they can just take people they want, but then they're just kind of open to all their people being taken. So it's a little strange in that respect.
I thought it was very interesting that the first NXT call-up was Hit Row. I like Hit Row. I like them a lot. But I'm not sure that some of Hit Row is ready.
Yeah. Especially B-Fab.
B-Fab.
I mean, the other two guys are still fairly inexperienced as well. You know, I guess it's the personality, it's the charisma of them that they really like, but they all definitely could use some more seasoning when it comes to the in-ring abilities.
Now, apart I will from say, Swerve, of course, but yeah, Swerve's fantastic. I will say that the Extreme Rules match that they had with B-Fab and Elektra, I think that's her name, was actually pretty good. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm very intrigued to see what happens with Hit Row. And obviously your tribal chief stays on SmackDown as he should, because he is pretty much been SmackDown for the last year. Intrigued with Drew going over, should make for some good matches, because I'm gonna assume, you know, he goes after Roman pretty much immediately. Naomi's an interesting pick, because, you know, her and Sonya have the little thing going, but
yeah,
I guess that wouldn't really matter, Raw or SmackDown. They could do it on either brand. So
yeah,
but I mean, all in all, good first night for SmackDown. Still think it's absolutely stupid that we get New Day back together for like a week.
2 weeks, yeah. And then just to kill us again.
Yeah. Stupid.
Well, let's see what choices Raw made. Monday Night Raw drafted Big E, Bianca Belair, RK Bro, Edge, Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley, Kit Lee, Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio, and getting called up from NXT, Austin Theory, even though he already has been called up once. He's a two-time call-up.
And kicked back down again, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They thought he was Latino the first time, and then they realized he wasn't, sent him back down, yeah.
Yeah. And then he got...
It's interesting how some teams can stay together with the call-up and other teams get split and drafted separately. I don't know what the ruling is there. I understand tag champions, yes, that makes more sense. But Ray and Dominic, like, you don't draft them separately, you just draft them together. But Ollie and Mansoor were technically different drafts. T-Bar and Mace were technically different drafts, even though they are both tag teams as well. So I don't know. I guess if you're drafting, you get the pick if you want one or two. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the rule is you pick whoever you want. You can either have the whole team or just an individual from a team.
Gotcha.
So
my thing about it is also with that is like, you know, they drafted Hit Row as a whole.
All four of them.
Why couldn't
count as one pick? Yeah.
Yeah, why couldn't SmackDown have with the first pick just said, I want the Bloodline? And then, Raw follows it up with, cool, you take Bloodline, we'll take New Day.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I'm not in the war room drafting, so I guess I don't really get much of a say.
You don't know what it's like, man. You don't know what it's really like when you're in there.
Sure.
The pressure you get.
Raw, obviously. Yeah, well, breaking up New Day is not really delivering. But Raw got some really good choices there. Bianca going over to Raw is very intriguing to me. Obviously, she'll probably head right after, I would say the Raw Women's Champion, but we'll figure that out later. But, you know, fresh matchups, I guess. And then, you know, RK-Bro's fine, I guess. I don't really care about Raw, so I don't really get to watch Riddle anyway. So, yippee-ki-yay, I don't have to bother with him still. And then Keith Lee, being a high draft pick, makes me hope that they're actually going to, you know, use him. So, yeah, well, that's a good, pretty good first round. Who cares about Austin Theory? He was the black sheep of the way anyway. We got a new son now. That's all that matters.
Traded in for a better model.
Kick him out of the curb.
Yep. We traded him in for a better, more wrestling oriented model and not a moron.
9.5 apparently. Mm.
9.5, yeah. They went through two whole sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next night, we had to wait, but there's a supplemental draft before Monday Night Raw, where SmackDown answers back by drafting Aliyah, Drew Gulak, Mace, Mansoor, Mustafa Ali, and Tony Storm.
If you want to call an answer back as Aaliyah, sure. Jesus Christ. The only good pick in that entire draft is Tony Storm.
Hey, man, Mustafa Ali is badass.
Yeah, Ali is pretty fucking good. I don't know why I always undersell him.
Yeah, don't hate on Ali. All right. However, Raw still has a lot more to say. They get a buttload of picks in the supplemental draft. Akira Tozawa, the Alpha Academy, Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz, Doudrop, Drake Maverick, I guess he gets called back from 205 Live, John Morrison, Nia Jax, R-Truth, Reggie, T-Bar, and Selena Vega.
Nia's on the injured list. I didn't think people who were on the injured list were in the draft pool. But they were considered free agents until they came back from injury. Gotcha.
She got drafted.
Well, yeah. Do drop.
So there, we get our first breakup of a team, officially a breakup, as T-Bar and Mace are now in opposite brands.
Yeah.
Maybe T-Bar will finally go back to the name of Dominik Dijakovic.
He apparently has been teasing that on social media that he was maybe going back. Yeah.
Praise God, because that entire Retribution stable storyline had so much promise and then flip-flopped.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're good when it comes to debuts, you know, like the Nexus and everything, but we don't know how to keep it going for a long time.
Never, ever.
All right. So here we go. Monday Night Raw, night two. The official night two of the draft. SmackDown answers back. Usos. SmackDown also selects Sasha Banks, King Nakamura and Rick Boogs, Sheamus, Shayna Baszler. So there's another team that gets broken up. Zaya Lee. That team was
broken up anyway.
Shayna broke the team up when she broke Nia's arm. Yeah.
Zaya Lee gets drafted from SmackDown.
Official call up, yeah.
Good for Zaya.
Yeah, she was called up, but she had to
be by SmackDown from NXT. Yeah. The Viking Raiders. Ricochet. Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. Cesaro. Sami Zayn and another call up from NXT, Ridge Holland.
So random.
Of course, Ridge Holland, you know, currently in a feud there with
teaming with Kyle O'Reilly. With,
No, he's teaming up with Pete Dunne.
Oh, yeah.
Dunne against to fight O'Reilly.
Yeah. Fight Kyle. There you go. Yeah.
Cool, Kyle.
Sami Zayn, going to SmackDown. They're keeping Owens and Zayn apart as Owens goes to Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
They're splitting them up.
If you don't put them on different brands, they'll find their way back to each other.
I think Baszler in SmackDown will do her some good to get away from foolishness that she's been doing in Raw.
Yeah. Well, the last couple of weeks she hasn't been acting foolish. She's been doing some great stuff, doing the Lord's work, putting people on the shelf, like Eva and Nia. But
Tamina's next, right?
Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
All right, Monday Night Raw draft. The man, Becky Lynch. The Hurt Business, with Bobby Lashley and MVP. But apparently the rest of the Hurt Business are back. More on that later. What was I? Seth Rollins, Damian Priest, AJ Styles and the Omis, Kevin Owens, the Street Profits, Finn Balor, Karrion Kross, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, and WWE's latest free agent, without even debuting on NXT, gets straight to the main roster, wrestling sensation Gable Stevenson. Wait, is he a wrestling sensation or is he a football sensation? I can't remember. I think
he was an Olympic wrestler.
I thought he was a wrestler. Amateur wrestler. Yeah.
He won a gold medal this summer.
Wrestling sensation Gable Stevenson.
So just so they can say that Kurt Angle is no longer the only Olympic gold medalist in WWE history. Just to stick it to Kurt a little bit.
Can they give him Kurt's music? That would be great.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. The Patriots music, that's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Patriot used it first.
Yeah, but Kurt used it better.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
By the way, if you had told me that Jerry would win
North American title in 2021, yeah. Tajiri winning the MLW championship.
Yeah, the middleweight title from
on that?
I don't know how he got to that.
We were literally just talking about
because I watched it earlier and it just came on my brain. My brain finally caught up with the fact that Tajiri just won a championship in 2021 here in the United States. But all right, supplemental draft. SmackDown stays quiet. They Jinder Mahal and Shanky get drafted on SmackDown, as does Natalya and Shotzi.
Splitting up Shotzi and Knox already.
Yeah. Raw drafts Dana Brooke, the Dirty Dogs, the rest of the Hurt Business, Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, back, baby. Jackson Riker, Mia Yim.
Agree with that.
She lives.
Yeah. The Miz, Natalya, Tamina, Tegan Knox, and Veer. It's weird that they decided to separate also Shanky and Veer.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both pretty useless. That's mean. I'm sorry.
But they're like, at this point, they're Jinder's background guys, so it's weird that they did split them up.
Yeah.
Because they were essentially like a trio. I guess they didn't want to have to put them against Bloodline or something since they're all heels.
I guess. So yeah. Shotzi and Tegan, the tag team that didn't last that long.
Yeah. Tamina and Natty are split up too.
Yeah. They need to just quit with those tag titles.
Because they don't like keeping teams together anyways.
Yeah.
They only have a couple teams, a couple women's teams, and they're not long tenured teams. The current team literally got together like in the week or two leading up to their title win.
Now, here's where it gets. Here's where we have an update on the remainder on the roster. Brock Lesnar actually announced that per his contract, he is a free agent and cannot be drafted. He can show up in any brand whenever he wants. So
must be nice.
Yeah,
he can thank the special counsel Paul Heyman for that, because apparently Paul negotiated his contract. Interesting.
Smart of him. Asuka is injured, so she's got an injured hand.
Yeah.
Bailey is also injured, that ACL.
Nia Jax is injured, but she got drafted.
Well, she's the indestructible something or other, so they can acknowledge that she's actually hurt.
She's not like most girls.
Not drafted. Elias.
Yeah, well.
Eva Marie.
That's Eva Marie. She's quote-unquote injured right now, too.
Lucha House Party, which Grand Metalik apparently has asked for his release.
Yeah.
Maurice.
Apparently asked for it several weeks ago, and it just hasn't been set up yet.
Slapjack.
Yeah.
And Titus O'Neil.
Well, Titus is too busy doing philanthropic work to worry about a wrestling career. He's much better suited doing that kind of stuff than he is in ring. So let him continue to do that stuff. He's a great ambassador for the brand and does a lot of great charity stuff.
Yeah.
But who's going to bark?
Braun Breaker.
Why would Braun Breaker bark? That doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Because he barks. That's just what he does.
No. He told people, though, if they want friends to go get a dog, and dogs bark.
No bones about it.
No bones about it.
So about the 44% chance of winning.
So, who's the real winner of the draft?
The fans.
The WWE Universe. There you go.
Was that the correct answer?
Yeah, that's the correct answer. Yeah.
Schmidt.
With flying colors. I couldn't have said it better myself. Although I think I could have, but then again, we'll see. It was all right. I think whichever brand gets to keep the Tribal Chief is a winner in my book.
Of course, because he is your reigning, defending, undisputed heavyweight champion of the universe.
Eric, are you cooking something?
Yes. I'm hungry.
Sounds like it, yeah.
What do you cook?
Gotta eat. Right now, I'm just making some rice. Because rice is yummy.
Rice aroni?
Nope, just white rice.
Why is it going to be white?
Because that is the color of the rice that I bought. I didn't
want brown term rice. The preferred term is Caucasian rice, okay? Oops. European-American rice.
Wow.
That comes from the white person.
So, yep.
Wow.
He would know.
Tisk tisk.
All right. What's happened on Impact Wrestling?
Stuff. And
anything
things
of consequence?
Knockouts Knockdown is Saturday.
Knockouts Knockdown is Saturday. So they've been doing things to build up to that. There's an 8-person or 8-woman tournament where the winner will receive a future championship opportunity. They've been building up Mickie James versus Deonna Purrazzo for Bound for Glory. And they just added the stipulation on tonight's show that Mickie and Deonna are not allowed to touch each other until the event, or they'll be fired. So they each get to pick an opponent for each other in the next couple weeks. So that be interesting there.
But is Mickie after even technically on the roster?
Yeah, sure.
How can you fire someone that's technically employed by NWA?
She's kind of a free agent everywhere. I don't think she's like contracted NWA either. She was just executive producer for Empower. I don't think she's contracted them.
Okay.
And in theory, the title match at the pay-per-view is a big money event. So if you get fired and you don't get that match, then that's a lot of money out of your pocket.
This is true.
The biggest event of the year is Bound for Glory. So in theory, it would be, you know, having a big featured high profile match on that show would earn you a lot of money.
Fair point.
And it should.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited for Knockouts Knockdown.
Yeah.
The tournament good bracket looks tagged good. To it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minus one or two, but whatever.
Yeah.
Can't all be winners.
Yeah, those are just first round jobs is all they are.
Exactly. They're the job squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's about where I'm at with Impact. And apparently the Fallen Angel has told Christian his days as champion is numbered. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The only title that has seemingly eluded Mr. Daniels in his entire Impact career.
Well, you know, apart from all those weird secondary titles they made. Legends Championship.
I think he won the Legends Championship, though. At least somewhere during the lineage of it.
Oh.
TV, Legends, whatever the fuck it was called, Grand Champion.
Tag titles.
Yeah.
Of course, X Division Champion.
Yeah, multiple times.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I'm not opposed.
Yeah. No, it should be a really good match once it gets down to it.
Assuming that we get to it, because we still have option C to look forward to.
Yeah, Josh Alexander cashed in the X Division Championship to take a world title shot, which I assume is at Bound for Glory, right?
Yes, yes.
So then I assume that either that event or the following event, they will start some kind of mini tournament or do an Ultimate X match or something to determine the next X Division champion.
It's always an Ultimate X match.
Of course, it's the X Division.
There's no limits? Or, wait, no weight limits, no rules, right? Isn't that what the tagline was?
No. It's not about weight limits, it's about
limits. It's about no limits. I knew it was something about weight limits. Yeah. Sorry. My old age.
Yeah. A few more Bullet Club people in Impact as ELP made his return to the company. So you have Chris Bay, Hikuleo, ELP, and Jay White's kind of come and go. So the Bullet Club presence is definitely being felt there against Finn Juice. And I think this week, I can't remember how the match ended up, but it was Chris Sabin teaming up with Finn Juice to take on Hikuleo, Chris Bay, and ELP. So probably a good match there. I have yet
so are the Bullet Clubs heel?
Yeah, of course. Like they're supposed to be.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're too sweet.
They're rudos, man. They're cheaters. They're bad dudes.
That's right, because we don't have the American.
All the elite guys were the ones that wanted to be baby faces and stuff. Yeah, couldn't handle being booed, so they had to be cheered. Yeah,
sounds about right. Sounds about right. Cool, no doubt.
Yeah, there is no doubt indeed. Isn't that a song? There is what? No doubt.
No, that is not the lyric that you're thinking of. I get knocked down, but I get up
again. But I get up again. You're never going to keep me down.
That's what you're thinking, buddy. Yeah.
Wow.
It sounded the same.
No. No.
Tomato, tomato.
Potato, tomato.
That too. You should have some tomatoes on your rice.
Ew, no. That's give disgusting. Some color.
Tomato?
And rice?
Fresh
yes.
tomato?
Yeah.
That's a little flame. Flame of flame?
No.
Yeah. All right. Let's stay on course before Danny. Danny hates it when we
don't talk. Don't start talking about Flav of Flav. What the fuck?
This show's already off the rails.
Oh, did it ever get on the rails?
So okay, that's a good match too, Danny. He just sent me a photo of a Monster Balls match that we'll be having at Knockouts Knockdown between Savannah Evans, Kimberly, Alicia Edwards, and Jordan Grace. So that'll be really interesting.
The Daphne Memorial Monsters Ball, as was announced shortly after the event was announced, that was a match. You know, she was in the first ever women's Monsters Ball match and the first ever mixed tag Monsters Ball match. And so, you know, they were going to name that match after her and put some people in it, you know, possibly. Or, you know, so they picked not a lot of prehistory between these people, but they definitely found four tough people they know can go in there and mess some stuff up.
It'll be good. I'm excited now.
Yeah. Of course, Savannah Evans, somebody we saw live this past weekend, more than a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown have been announced for WWE. There'll be two special tournaments happening on SmackDown starting this Friday night. The season premiere of Friday Night SmackDown will kick off as Sami Zayn faces off against Rey Mysterio in a King of the Ring opening round match. And on the Queen's Crown tournament, Liv Morgan will face off against Carmella.
Yeah, I don't like that they're not doing it as a single night tournament anymore. I'd heard in the past that the finals of both tournaments would be at the Crown Jewel on October 21st. I also heard that the reason it is Queen's Crown and not Queen of the Ring is apparently that is copyrighted by somebody else.
Interesting.
Apparently, so there's some show on Netflix that has the copyright to the term Queen of the Ring.
That's weird.
And that's why WWE could not use that. That's why they went with Queen's Crown.
I like Queen's Crown though. It kind of differentiates it between the two. But of those two announced matches, let's hope and pray for a Liv Morgan win.
There you go. Yeah.
And hopefully Sammy.
Yeah.
Because nobody needs a 50-year-old King of the Ring.
Rey Mysterio looks like he's still 50.
Yeah, size-wise, but when he takes the mask off, he looks 90.
And his body definitely feels like it's 100. Yeah. All the knee surgery.
If he can even feel his body anymore.
There you go, yeah.
So Dynamite turns to
Terrible Twos, baby.
Well, and with his Terrible Twos, it introduces the TBS Championship.
Did AEW get a buy one, get one free on their titles?
Eric, you saw this live, so we didn't have to.
Trash. Oh, the show? The show was fine.
The presentation of the belt.
Oh, fuck that belt. It looks just as dumb as the TNT belt. It's just blue, and it has TBS on it.
Yeah, a women's secondary championship is, don't know if something that people are clamoring for, but, you know, who doesn't love more championships? It's not like it devalues all the other championships every time a new one's added or something.
I'm here for the belt, because it's not the belt that I have a problem with, it's the look of the belt. And it's kind of like Britt said, you know, now all these jealous bitches have another title to go after so that the rest of the division can focus on her, essentially. Yet to be determined what happens, how we get there. I'm assuming a tournament. But who knows? We may have a 30-woman over-the-top battle royal for it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Or they may just hand it to somebody. Find it backstage in a backpack.
Go to the trash can.
Where it belongs, yeah.
Yeah.
Only on TBS.
But yeah, a tournament will be held for this championship, Danny and Eric. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Of course, it was the Dynamite that's moving to TBS in the new year. So yeah, let's get. So why not give YouTube a title as well while we're at it?
Yeah,
they had one. It was NWA Women's title.
There you go. Impact. That was the pre-show match title. Impact also announced before we get too far away from Impact, the creation of their digital media championship. Little is known about that so far, except that it's a new championship they're bringing in, and the video package hyping the championship featured both men and women competitors. So unknown if it is if it will be a men's title, a women's title, or some kind of intergender title that both men and women can hold. So we don't know about that yet, but that was something that Impact announced, their digital media championship. I guess they can't have TV belt because they're not always on TV.
This is the former Legends title that turned into a Smoky Top of the Mountain title, and that is an internet title or a digital media title. That's the title that just keeps on giving.
Yeah, apparently.
Quite a thing. Yeah. What is next? The Trios title?
Well, that was what was speculated, that that Tony Khan was going to announce. That was what was speculated, that they would be, that AEW would bring about a Trios championship. But instead, they went with the secondary women's championship.
It is what it is.
All right, moving on. Wow.
Indeed. Wow. With that level of enthusiasm.
Wow, in many, many ways.
Yes.
AJ Mendez, formerly known as AJ, is announced to be a executive producer for the new WoW Superheroes.
And commentator, from what I've heard as well.
Oh, really?
So she might be doing some commentary and executive producing, yeah.
I'm here for it.
Of course, this is the return of WoW, the former promotion where ladies kick butt and entertain us back in the 80s.
It was Glow in the 80s, and it's WoW now. Yeah. Last season was WoW Superheroes, and they all had one-word names. I think Kiera Hogan was Fire or something, and they all had one-word names like they were superheroes. So changing in a slightly different direction, perhaps. Yeah. But yeah, AJ, there as an executive producer. Also heavily featured was former WoW champion Tessa Blanchard.
Boo!
Has essentially been blacklisted from wrestling after all these stories amassed of her horrible personal behavior backstage, including racism and bullying and terrible, terrible behavior. And then, we start to realize that regardless of how talented she is in the ring, that's why she hadn't been signed to a major promotion yet. It's because they all knew this before it got out into the outside of the inner circle of wrestling. WoW apparently doesn't care. She's a former champion. She's their big star they're touting. At the press conference, she was there as well as what did they call her? Her name was Jungle Girl, but then she was – when it became WoW Superheroes, she just went by a one-word name.
Beast. Primal. Wasn't it the Beast?
The Beast. Yeah, she was the Beast. So that's the that's the current WoW champion. So they, were teasing that, the Beast and Tessa would be facing off, in the series as the two stars, I guess. Apparently signing lots of different people. Some of the people that they used in the past, including Willow Nightingale, mentioned that she might be involved again. It was a decent product before. The problem was just distribution. It was on a very obscure channel that didn't get reached to very few markets. But this deal, they've signed on with ViacomCBS, and the press release said that it would be available in over 160 different markets across the United States. I'm guessing on like local CBS affiliates. It would also be on Pluto TV and their CB stream or whatever is a CBS streaming application, because everybody has one now. So, you know, with AJ's name attached to it and a lot bigger distribution, of course, the hope is that this thing becomes a lot larger. But they're already receiving a lot of backlash from fans because Tessa Blanchard is still there heavily featured. So I guess their plan and hope was that everybody would be so excited to have AJ Lee there that they would kind of forget and forgive Tessa and her indiscretions, or maybe hoping that a lot of fans don't know about it, don't care. But at least on the internet, it seems that people are already ready to discount it regardless of all the positives because of the affiliation, heavy promotion of the one Tessa Blanchard.
Yep. I was super hyped until I saw
you saw her in the pictures in the background. Yeah.
And then I immediately said, well, good for AJ. Don't give a fuck.
So we'll see if having Tessa attached is, you know, the kiss of death for them, regardless of anything else they do, if that will be the stain that holds them down. Or, I mean, I've also seen some people who aren't really, you know, into the dirt sheets and the Wrestling Insider stuff, and they seem excited for it. So it just depends, I guess.
I guess. Let's see. What else we got here?
Hey, remember when I told y'all that Tessa was a piece of shit years ago, but nobody believed me? And then now
Tessa's a piece of shit? I remember. I believed your story, but my thought was maybe she was just healing. And she was just trying to heal the fans a little bit because she didn't have a merch stand set up or anything like that. So I thought she was just kind of playing a heel and she was trying to blow off fans in order to get that over. Nope. Apparently that was not the case. It was more just her true personality. So whatever happened to that documentary about her? Remember when we were at Queens of Combat and they had that camera crew following around and stuff? Whatever happened to that?
They probably realized how when did she got screaming fuck every 5 minutes.
In between squeaky gasps.
In between squeaky gasps, yeah, exactly. It was the worst promo I've ever heard in real life.
The promo itself was okay. It had a lot of passion and energy, but yeah, because she was screaming fuck for no reason, trying to sound tough, and then kept like was out of breath and kept
squeezing,
gasping.
Yeah.
It fucked it all up.
Because I couldn't even focus on the promo because I was just hearing.
Yeah.
Whatever, I guess.
What else we got left? My throat
hurts. I know, right?
Your noises. Halloween Havoc is coming back to NXT.
What's NXT?
So far, we have one match.
It's NXT 2.0, sir.
Oh, NXT 2.0. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the least developmental system.
Yeah, I know what NXT 2.0 is. I just didn't know what NXT was.
And with this, we will have a match oriented as Tommaso Ciampa versus Braun Breaker for the NXT Championship. Is it that time? Is it time to already get Breaker a championship?
Apparently.
Yeah. Why the fuck not? Send Tommaso's ass on up to NXT or Raw or SmackDown. Call it a day. Fuck it.
Yeah. The crown jewel, my friends. The crown jewel. October 21st. 12 p.m. Eastern. I don't know what time it will be in the Great Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. But here we go. 2 weeks from now, Roman Reigns defends the Universal title against Brock Lesnar. Becky Lynch defends the SmackDown Women's Championship against Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. RK-Bro defends their Raw Tag Team Championships against AJ Styles and Omos. Big E defends the WWE Championship against Drew McIntyre. And Goldberg and Bobby Lashley will face off in a no holds barred match.
What holds do either one of them do that are potentially barred?
The Hurt Lock.
It's not barred.
Yeah, because there's no holds barred.
That's what I'm saying. But do they? But none of them are exceptionally known as rule breakers who would use holds that would get them outlawed or disqualified or something.
And anything that would play the turnbuckle or the ropes?
Or like a choke
hold. Those type of holds?
Pulling the hair or something.
So basically what they're saying is that Bobby could get Goldberg in a sleeper hold and just never let go and actually kill him, and he'll get away with it because it was no holds barred. So it technically wasn't illegal because there was nothing illegal. So Bobby could literally murder Goldberg and get away with it.
But, you know, the referee's going to stop it beforehand.
I've seen a lot of those referees, and I've seen a lot of Bobby Lashley. If Bobby don't want to let go, he ain't got to let go.
Yeah, there you go.
The question is, will Goldberg
take off his shirt in the ring again?
Do the truffle shuffle?
Interfere at all.
Uh-huh.
Who cares? I'm done with this feud.
Yeah.
I've been done with this feud. Hey,
done with Goldberg being the top guy. So. Yeah.
Goldberg and his son versus the Hurt Business.
Speaking of Goldberg, I'm very disappointed in WWE because they won't give Big E his big meaty man slapping meat shirt, and that really makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because I would rock the shit out of that shirt.
So you'll just have to look up to the independent artist to make it, because WWE is not. Their legal team apparently advised them against it. Putting a shirt that says "Big Meaty Men Slapping Meat."
Stupid. That's their money making T-shirt. That would sell more than the Bloodline T-shirt.
That's what they're afraid of.
They don't want Big E to outsell the Tribal Chief.
There you go. Yeah.
Well,
they don't want none.
Nope.
They do not. All right, so then, this Goldberg look like something Devereaux? I can't remember his name. Blake Devereaux.
Parker Bordeaux, is that who you're talking about? The guy who looked like Little Parker Lesnar. Yeah, looked like Brock Lesnar Jr. And they shaved his head for whatever reason and called him Harland now. Just one name, just Harland. They're already priming him for a major roster debut. They're just giving him one name.
I mean,
you don't have to worry about which one to drop.
Yeah. He looked pretty darn scary to me. Could you imagine
he looked like, pair of this guy? He's got like a Mojo Jojo size head, dude.
Yeah. If they pair him with Joe Gacy, I think they're going to be dangerous.
Isn't Joe Gacy dangerous? Wasn't he canceled and stuff? And apparently he's back.
No. Pretending he was he wasn't really canceled. People. WWE just liked the promotion, like, because all of the like legitimate newscast people were like, "What is WWE doing with their woke wrestlers?"
And so obviously Vince was like, "Hey, fuck you, I do what I want."
Uh-huh.
Pretty darn much.
Basically, he tells the the Foxes and the CNNs of the world the same thing he tells the fans. Fuck you, I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
He is visiting man. All right, Bobby Fish is All Elite.
Bobbert Troutman.
Yes, Bobbert. My boy Bobbert.
In a losing effort for them. Yeah, losing effort against Sammy Guevara. But you know, I think he gave the fans a little bit of a taste of what he can do, because unfortunately in his NXT run he really didn't get too many opportunities to do that because he kept getting injured and he was kind of the background guy of the team, you know. So he didn't really get a whole lot of chances to have singles matches for starters. And he is really good. You know, he's a near 20-year veteran at this point. You know, he has done mixed martial arts competitions, you know, competitively as well. So I think he can have a lot of good matches. And I think, you know, he's somebody who can, you know, who could be there to kind of coach and advise a lot of the younger talent as well. So I think it's a good gig for them.
Unfortunately, the crowd went really mild.
Yeah, that was fairly disappointing. Even though he came out to Dance Away, which they should have
exactly liked.
They should have popped should back have, for if they're really big say. Fans like they think they are.
And the All Elite crowd is the ones that are supposed to love all the indie darlings and you know,
all the ROH former ROH guys.
Exactly, Bobby Fish is one of those indie darlings, but it's okay. He was well loved and respected in NXT. They would have cheered him.
He was Dirk Jackson before he became Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
I saw him many, many years ago teaming with Rockin' Rebel. And an ROH event. He was on a dark match in Philly. It was Dirk Jackson and the Rockin' Rebel teaming together.
Wow. I haven't heard that name in forever.
I know, right?
And hopefully this means something big for Bobby.
Yeah.
You know, I sent you that thing yesterday, Danger, where it said, you know, oh God, what was the punch?
Bobby's All Elite, Kyle or Adam's All Elite. Roderick's a champion and has a new stable, and then there's Kyle. Random kids, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, Adam Cole, who had to go join another stable after he left another stable to stay relevant. Bobby just lost on national television. And I mean, Kyle pretty much wins every single match that he's been in over the last 5 or 6 months. But you know, whatever we can do to pop the All Elite narrative. And I don't even hate All Elite anymore. I think I just hate their fans.
Just the fanboys, yeah. Just the mega fanboys who think that everything that, you know, that their shit don't stink, and then everything WWE does is terrible.
Why can't we just enjoy wrestling for wrestling?
Yeah.
That's too much to ask.
Apparently. Too much to ask.
You can't always get what you want. Isn't that the story?
Essentially, yeah. At this point. Story of my life.
All right. So, Danny, this past Saturday.
Saturday.
We went to North Carolina to check out
Concord, not Concord.
Yeah,
Concord, as there's the local pronunciation.
Yeah, I'm not due to any of the news. What'd you think, man? What are your impressions here? I mean, not the first time you've been in the Charlotte.
Yeah, it's not the first time we've been up there. It's not the first time that I've been in that venue. Actually, Eric, I have a funny story. So it was at the same venue that the Caribous Arena that we went to see the Crockett Cup at, okay?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we go in to the main area the same way we went in for the Crockett Cup. There's nobody watching the door. Like, it's early. There's nobody watching the door. We just walk on in. There's nobody there. We walk in, and there are a bunch of mats on the floor. There's a jiu-jitsu tournament going on in that building. And there were signs somewhere when we came in for a coin collectors convention.
What the fuck?
So we're thinking, well, how many like building places are in here? You know, what all's going on? And one of these going to have to clear out some wrestling? I'm like, are we at the right place? I'm having Patrick look up on Facebook and me look up on Facebook to make sure like
we have the address right and we didn't get, you know, pick the wrong venue for the event or didn't get moved or something. And apparently between those two buildings, there's some little pathway that looks like it's almost going underground, but it's not. And that was the entrance to the event there. So on one side of us was jiu-jitsu competition, where as we were checking our phones, the EMTs come running in, trying to get in. Apparently somebody had been injured, and the EMTs were literally like trying to run in to go help somebody. And then a coin collector's convention, and then pro wrestling. North Carolina's a wild place. But the show was good. You know, it's not my first PWX show. But of course, you know, the reasons we went were not the PWX regulars, although some of them are fairly good. We didn't drive 4 hours just to see local talent. We drove 4 hours to see Killer Kelly, who unfortunately did not wrestle. She said she was dealing with some injuries, and we saw a message that she put out last night saying she was canceling all of her bookings for the remainder of the year.
For the rest of the year.
So she's having breathing issues and all this, and she's going to go get that looked up and taken care of, and hopefully can return in 2022. We hope she can. Robbie Eagles was there, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. So we got to see him in a really great match against Lucky Ali. Lance Archer was there, the Murder Hawk Monster. We got to see him and JD Drake beat the ever living crap out of each other.
Did everybody die?
Match.
Everybody did die. Yeah. Everybody. I'm not even alive right now. This is me from the other side.
Hello from the other side.
And then, of course, the reason we drove 4 hours, the other three were really good, but they were not the reason that we would have driven 4 hours, was to see Minoru Suzuki, the King of Pro Wrestling, there compete live as he's, you know, doing a tour of the United States, as he was in September and this month of October, doing a lot of shows with the New Japan Strong Tour. And doing a lot of independent shows, several GCW dates, and several others throughout his tenure here. And he was going to PWX to take on Anthony Henry in what was an amazing live match. I've just kind of been buzzing about it all week long, remembering parts of it, looking back at all the pictures I took. And yet again, they beat the ever-loving tar out of each other. Really good match. Amazing experience to be there and see the King. We were right up in the front row. And we got to meet him and get a picture taken with him as well. You know, so it was only the way they had it set up. It was literally like a few second interaction was all you got. They literally briefed you on exactly how it was going to go down and what you were going to do before you went around the corner. Okay. You're going to walk in. He's going to shake your hand. You're going to stand next to him and pose for the picture. We're going to take one picture. And then on your way out, you can grab one of the signed photos that you would like to take with you, and you just come right back here. Okay.
So I'm a little jelly because Danny got a better picture.
Yeah, I got the last one of the better shot they had of him in the black towel and stuff on his head.
Yeah, that picture was pretty fucking dope. I'm not going to lie.
But it was really, really good show. You know, like I said, PWX shows, even without any of the big names, they're good shows. They're good quality stuff. It's just not, you know, it's not something I would drive 4 hours to see on its own unless there are big talent there. And that's why I've driven up there. You know, Eric and I went to go see Jushin Liger there. And we drove to see Zack Sabre Jr. when he was there. Now I've driven to see, against Cedric Alexander and what was Cedric's last independent match. Before going to the Fed. And now Minoru Suzuki, Lance Archer, Robbie Eagles. Apparently Robbie Eagles is already back in Japan. So apparently that might have been his last show in the States. He's going back to Japan, getting ready for Best of Super Juniors, no doubt. Which will be starting up November, I believe. Second week of November. So as I've heard, you know, as Patrick and I are still hoping to possibly go to Wrestle Kingdom this year, but things haven't opened up that well just yet. You know, they're starting to let people in from different countries, but you still have to do a not a 14-day, but a 10-day quarantine. You have to be fully vaxxed. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that's one of the reasons why Robbie went back now, because he's going to have to sit there for 10 days at least before he can even get out anywhere and start going back to training in the gym or the dojo or what have you, leading up to that.
So the question is, will Patrick be getting chipped this year?
Yeah. In order to go to Japan, you have to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So I
Patrick just isn't as interested in 5G as other people.
Yeah. As his birthday present, I would get chipped so I could go with him to New Japan. We'll see if that happens. It'll be interesting. Nonetheless. But yeah, I mean, 10 days, that's still too much.
Yeah, that's way too much, because then you have to pay for 10 days worth of hotel and food when you're just sitting in a hotel room watching TV and shit the whole time.
Pretty much.
So it's, you know, when we would be there less than 10 days total, you know? So hopefully things continue to get better, restrictions continue to lift, and we can actually make it this year to Wrestle Kingdom.
We will know by next month.
Yeah.
We'll know by next month. But yeah, the PWA show was really fun. There were a lot of really fun matches, like you said. Drake and Archer was great. I've never seen Lucky Ali wrestle, so that, you know, that was a really fun match with the
Eagles.
Eagles. My gosh, I'm already forgetting names. They made the event fantastic. The King. You know, I said it on our Twitter on FW Radio, and I'll say it again. You don't wrestle Minoru Suzuki, you survive Minoru Suzuki. And why is that, Eric?
Because Suzuki Goon shows no mercy.
Bless you, my friend. Bless you. you're listening for the first time, you know, I like to try to set up Eric to say that line at least once every show, and at least once every show he refuses to do it.
But yeah, we're never talking about Suzuki.
He usually blows the spot. It's usually in regards to New Japan, because he doesn't really follow the New Japan product that closely. So we're like, okay, well, when we're going to ask you what you think about it, here's the line you're going to say, you know. And usually, yeah, it's not featuring Suzuki or something, but it's supposed to be like, so what did you think of the New Japan show? And he's supposed to say,
yeah, because that's the only Suzuki thing you know about New Japan. Exactly.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the running gag, but he usually blows the spot.
Exactly. You just got to go with the flow, man.
He doesn't blow the spot. He knows what he's doing. He just doesn't care.
But if the spot is pre-set up that way and you intentionally not do it, you're blowing the spot. Be it intentionally or unintentionally, you're still blowing the spot.
Yeah. Maybe. Not just any spot. All right. Not a dog spot. Not a whatever spot. But the spot. You blow in the spot. So
other shows coming up soon in the local Atlanta area where the FOW crew will be in attendance the next 2 weeks.
Will Eric be in attendance? That's the question.
Will Eric be in attendance? I don't think he will be for the first one, but I think he will next week, correct?
What's the first one?
First one is Mucha Lucha this Sunday, Mucha Lucha Atlanta.
Eric's booked that day.
I'll let Patrick give a little bit of the insight on the Mucha Lucha Atlanta, what you can expect, who will be featured.
Yeah. Well, we already have announced a three-way match for your main event as LA Park faces off against Psycho Clown and Pagano. Should be a really fun match. And then, of course,
should be wild.
El Hijo de L.A. Park and L.A. Park Jr., because those are not the same, are going to team up against La Nexion That and much more. Of course, all of your favorite MLA stars will be there. So, yeah, be there. Tickets start at, what, like $40, I think, or $50. There's no better fun than, you know, lucha tacos and screaming Mexicans. And then next week, no, the week after, AWE, what, chapter two?
AWE Lap. No, it's called One Crazy Night. It's actually the name of the show, but it is technically AWE Loud Chapter 2.
Yeah.
One Crazy Night is the name of the show.
Support on the Patreon, and you will get to see this. You'll probably get to see the show in some type of form.
It'll be live streamed on the Patreon and then put up there later. If you join the AWE Patreon, and that will include, of course, my commentary, which you will not get in the live experience. But if you do want to be there live, you can purchase a ticket, come out to Austell. Galaxy Sports Bar and Grill. Your main event will be Chip Day versus Buddy Matthews, the former Buddy Murphy of 205 Live and WWE Raw fame. As Chip Day, for many years, considered himself the best kept secret in the Southeast, at least, as he was putting on great matches against competitors from all around the country, you know, yet he still was not really able to break into that echelon himself. And after the fallout between Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy, Buddy Murphy was kind of off TV a while and started calling himself the best kept secret in professional wrestling, as, you know, he considered himself a great asset that nobody really had the chance to see yet. He joined into 205 Live shortly after their rebirth, and was a long-tenured champion there, the Cruiserweight champion. And then he went up onto Raw and was, you know, part of one of the minions of the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins. He tried to have sex with Rey Mysterio's daughter. So, you know, he's done a lot of good things. And so essentially it's kind of the battle of, you know, the best kept secrets. Also, another big match featured is Joe Black versus Davey Richards, which should be extremely hard hitting, as both of these guys are famous for how tough they are and how hard they hit. Also featured new tag team champions, or the GWC tag team champions. They won it at the last show. Effie and Ashton Starr will defend against the Metro Brothers, who are making their return to the company. The Metro Brothers, you know, felt that they should have been in the four-way for the tag team match, but they were booked elsewhere, could not make that. Effie and Ashton essentially took what they consider their place in that match and would go on to win the championship. So that's why the Metro Brothers have called them out and saying, hey, you took our spot in the match, which we would have won the belts, and you guys did that. So, you know, line us up as your top contender now.
You're mean.
Plus many more matches, you know, to be determined. A Roar women's match, of course, should be featured as well. So you can join us there on October 17th. And yet again, you know, just like you can find Mucha Lucha Atlanta on Facebook, you can also find Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment on Facebook as well. And of course, if you see the FOW crew, come say hey, buy us a beer, and talk some wrestling.
Don't buy me a beer, please.
Yeah, don't buy Eric a beer. Oh, you can
buy him one, and then he'll just hand it off to me. Yeah.
I also accept water bottles, and they sell good tacos at the venue, so I will take a taco or a water or anything but a Coke product. But yeah.
It's all code for sex acts. So
it's really not.
So yeah, buy him a water. Be safe,
please.
Yeah, and it's gonna be so much fun. I look forward to being back at AWE. I think I haven't been there since They were at the
district. Yeah, the district.
Is that what they called it? I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it was District Atlanta. Yeah, it was the place over in the industrial area. Yeah.
So, but I look forward to seeing many friends and wrestlers, of course, you know, Danny, and who knows. If he's lonely up there, I may join him if he lets me. We shall see. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun this weekend, next weekend. And then I think I need to take a break. I feel like back-to-back-to-back for the first time in a while.
Sir, you don't get a break. Three WrestleCades coming up.
Three wrestling weekends in a row is kind of a lot for us being, you know, coming out of the pandemic and such. So we might have to take a few weeks off before WrestleCade comes up just to kind of charge our batteries for the part that will be.
I know. That's a whole weekend. We need all the rest of the week we can get.
Really excited about WrestleCade.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that as it gets closer.
About a month away now.
Yeah, well, about a month and a half at this point.
Yeah, a month and a half,
Start saving your money.
Yeah, lots of names. I also missed, who was that person that got, before the Lucha Brothers got announced? I feel like they announced somebody who I missed. Yeah, Tuco Scorpio, PCO are going to be there.
Yeah, PCO too, yeah.
Yeah, I missed those announcements, but yeah, really fun.
Yeah.
Glad to see them getting a shot. Getting a chance to come. Happy. Yeah. Did she get announced? When did she get announced?
Today? Yep.
Oh. Well, I haven't been on it today. Well, that's it for us. Make sure that you check us out anywhere where podcasts are found. On what are those things called? iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, and we're now on Vrbl, whatever that is.
Oh,
Vurbl.
All right.
We have been added there. I got the notification early this week. So you listen to podcasts somewhere, we're likely there. Check us out. Give us a follow. Go on the Twitter machine as well. Follow us there. We have a Facebook. We almost never post on it. Maybe we will. Who knows? Check us out at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. Mika's on Twitter somewhere in the world at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.